Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Hello, and welcome to another World of UX podcast. This is your host, Darren Hood. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. A special welcome to those of you joining us for the first time. Welcome. Well, we are going to, quick announcement, we are going to delay our Ask Me Anything session. We've recorded two full sessions already. They're dynamite. But we do have to delay them another week. So we're going to dive in today and present another potpourri session where I'm going to cover three hot topics that I came across over the course of the last few days. It does take a little bit more to produce the video that we're doing now. And so we want to make sure we do it right. And so we're going to delay that and make sure that we produce something that is the proper level of quality. But let's go ahead and dive in today as we look at some hot topics in the world of UX. Topic number one. This one was interesting. This is, as many cases I do, this one comes from social media. And this is a post that someone shared with regard to the job market, with the UX job market, and what they were forecasting with regard to current state, what's going to come. And you appreciate people who will try to do things like this, but please note that this particular one is an exercise in critical thinking, which is interesting that you see such a lack of critical thinking today in user experience circles, because it's at the core of what we do. Everything we do revolves around critical thinking. And so I'm going to show you some things as we progress through this. I'm going to read a piece, especially for those listening by way of audio. Those who are watching it, they can see it a little bit, especially if you're in full screen. But for people on the audio portion of the podcast, they can't see any of this, so I have to read it. But I'm going to read, I'm going to pause, I'm going to read, and I'm going to pause because I want to point out some things with regard to what's going on here, what we should do if we have proper levels of critical thinking, and I'm going to talk about what we won't do. And I will call that one out first because this person posted it. Of course, all you do is start talking about jobs and X number of people are going to chime in and they're going to embrace what's being said. Now, the question is, are you processing what's being said? Because a lot of people are not. And some people were celebrating this post, and I'm about to show you some reasons why you shouldn't be celebrating this. So here we go. The person starts out by saying December UX job market recap. This is their little heading. What's hot? What's not? December brought a slight dip in UX job postings. Not surprising as the year wound down, but what stood out? So they start out with that introduction. This is already, in a sense, sort of setting you up to let you know something really bad is about to follow, because that's a standard that happens every year. So we'll need to mention that. Not really. But I want to just call that out. First point, the person says product design took a hit, while product management and UX research held their ground, reinforcing their value in driving strategy and design. Design operations slowly but steadily growing, reflecting the need to scale teams and boost efficiency. Now, the thing I want to call out there, wasn't happy with the way I read that, but I don't think I need to go back and reread it. The point that I need to make off of this first bullet, no actual bullets here. Well, in a sense they are, but they're not. But do you notice that there's no source? Did you notice that this person did not say where they're getting any of this from? They're just saying things. So I'm going to call one thing out early. I thought about holding this off to the end, but I want to call this out now. This post appears to be generated by AI. AI will generate things and never give you the source. It'll just make the statement. And a lot of people are now leaning on AI to generate social media posts because they just want to generate a following and they're not really interested in being genuine. They're not really interested in being accurate. They're just interested in getting as many people as possible to interact with their posts. Now, this is a hot topic, so people are going to connect to it, but it started out bad on two fronts. It first off mentions something that is already generally known, and you really, in a sense, don't need to repeat that. It's December. Hirings are lower in December than pretty much any other time of year, so we don't need to reiterate that for anybody. Next, they talk about how that product design took a hit. Product management and UX research held their ground. What are you basing this on? Who told you this? And somebody will say, well, some people will post things and they don't cite sources and it's valid. And that's true. However, this particular topic is something that there is data source, or there are data sources, I should say, available. There are many resources that do have a viable means. They have viability behind their statements, and all you have to do is cite it or refer people to it. But when you get this kind of stuff from AI, you just say it and that's it. Actually, they just parrot what AI said. They don't even give credit to AI for the post. They just jump into it. Next, they go on, and this is where it starts to get really, really bad, because now they're going to start giving numbers. And it says remote versus hybrid on site. That is the next heading. It says remote roles dropped sharply, 875 versus 2,385 in November. Again, where did this happen? Is it a city? Is it a state? Is it in the Midwest? Is it on the West Coast? Where is it? And you don't know. It definitely is not global. There's no way that's global. There's no way that that's global. So there's already a problem here that's showing you, and what I do in my PhD work, if you present something and it's not viable, it gets shot down. And I love that aspect of PhD work. And I also love the fact that that should be a norm in UX circles. We should not be saying anything that we cannot validate. We should not be saying anything that we cannot prove. We are always in the business of earning respect. We're always in the interest of making sure that we prove our worth, that we can be trusted by our resources, whether they're internal or external. We need to be doing that. And so if you're in UX and you're going to lean on AI or any other source for that matter, and then a source, especially when it's not really validating or you can't prove why you're saying what you're saying, that's going to detract from your credibility. So that's a problem. So they go on to say hybrid on-site positions also declined, 2,582 total, pointing to the usual holiday slowdown. Again, they mentioned that. Despite the dip, the preference for in-person collaboration persists. Okay, said who? At any rate, layoffs. Good news. Layoffs hit a Q4 low at 2,268. Again, where is this? We don't know, because the person didn't tell us. They didn't lend us the courtesy of telling us that. This signals improving market stability and may mean a brighter path ahead for job seekers. Now, people were responding to this. They were like, thank you for sharing this. Oh, this is great. I'm so glad we have a great outlook. But did you ever ask yourself where they got it from? And they haven't shown it. It's not here. So that is a problem. And then I got a big one for you at the end of this. But lastly, they said 2025 outlook. The UX job market in 2025 is shaping up to be resilient and opportunity rich, fueled by innovation, AI, and user-centered design. Expect hiring to accelerate in Q1 with hybrid on-site roles remaining dominant. Says who? Again, I believe this is an AI post. It has every sign that this is an AI post. Then they wrap up by saying to stay ahead, focus on AI integration, growth and interaction design, research and operational efficiency, adapt and thrive. The future of UX looks promising. Now, I promised you a little sort of bonus at the end of this. And the bonus is that this person talked about what's supposedly going on in the market, but they never talked about the major contributing factor. The major contributing factor to hiring is that the wrong people are interviewing, the wrong people are running UX teams, the wrong people, they're still overvaluing portfolios, and all of those, no matter what these numbers, even if all this was true, the numbers here don't really reflect the problems that sit at the root of the dysfunctional world of UX hiring. So it that hints of toxic positivity because of the way that this thing is going, not good, folks. Simply not good. And so this post can be discarded. And please, when folks post information about UX, do yourself a favor, whether it's on YouTube, I said this last week, I believe, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on Twitter, Blue Sky, LinkedIn, look up the person's profile. Look at a person's current position. Look at how a person tracked into that position. Because a lot of times you'll see a person, this person is a UX director. I'm going to listen to them. But if you go and look at their how they track in their career, you'll find out that they went straight from, as I like to say, from being a hot dog vendor straight to being in charge of UX, which means that they don't really know. And even if they have some knowledge of UX, if they've never worked in the trenches, then they don't really have much to offer you, especially if you work in the trenches. If you are an individual contributor and you're taking advice from someone who has never worked as an individual contributor, it is highly likely some of the people have good things to say, but very, very few. It is highly likely that you are drinking Kool-Aid. You're following the cult of UX, and you are partaking of misinformation, and you're going to pay the price for that. So do yourself a favor and make sure that you listen to sources, like that YouTube bit that I talked about recently where someone accused me of quote-unquote yapping when the person that they were actually following on YouTube was yapping. The person had about 2 years of experience, if that, really didn't know what they were talking about. And these people won't tell you, I just want a following, so I'm just doing whatever. They won't tell you that. But if you learn how to observe what they're doing, you'll come to identify it, and the person doesn't need to tell you. So some of these people, that's all they're doing. They're just saying, I mean, I told somebody the other day, a lot of courses on LinkedIn are taught by people that don't have any expertise in the area that they're teaching about. Is that who you really want to listen to? No, absolutely not. So make it a point to validate who someone is before you opt in. Start there. When you come into UX, you don't have a filter, but you should have some degree of common sense. So let's put that to work. You should have some degree of emotional intelligence. Put that to work and confirm who somebody is before you opt in, before you start embracing what they're telling you, because they may not have a clue. And they're going to take you with them. They're going to Pied Piper you all the way to a really bad state. And you're going to have all this time that you're going to need to unlearn all these things. You're going to need to unlearn. Don't do that to yourself. You deserve better. We all deserve better, don't we? Let's go on to topic number two. Topic number two, and this is going to be a two-parter here because I'm going to show you a post that I put out, tell you a little story behind it, and then we'll show you what someone said when they responded to me. Somebody sent me a private message, and it was a dynamite interaction, and kudos to that person. But let's start off here. Someone posted something to LinkedIn, and the person was, I believe they were trying to just engage, because the person said, is wireframing dead? Those who know the discipline know that wireframing is not dead. We know that there's a lot of instances where people are not using it and where people are not asking for it. We know that people are confused. They confuse wireframes with mockups, but does that mean wireframing is dead? Absolutely not. And so I responded to them, and then I took my response and I made a post out of that, and I shared their post, but I wanted people to see it. That person came back and liked what I said. And so at least they had the ability, they had the wherewithal to at least acknowledge that what I was saying was valid. But a lot of people don't know what we're about to say, and they don't do wireframes. A lot of people don't do any wireframing in their work today. But please note the following. I said, wireframing is as important as critical thinking, yet both are endangered. Isn't that interesting? Wireframing and critical thinking are both endangered. Is it a lot of people in UX today don't do wireframing, and a lot of people doing UX today don't engage in critical thinking? Now, here's the funny thing. I didn't mention this in the post. At wireframing, you don't hardly see that. You don't hardly see critical thinking. Is critical thinking dead? Shouldn't be. If you're planning on being safe over the course of the next week, the next day, You're going to need to exercise critical thinking. I mean, it's critical thinking. It helps us stop at stoplights, at traffic lights. We need to embrace critical thinking. One of my favorite courses that I ever took the entire time that I was getting my undergrad was to take a course in critical thinking. I think it should be required because a lot of people simply don't do it. But at any rate, so it's as important as critical thinking, wireframing, yet both are endangered. And I said the UX discipline is overrun today with amateurish practitioners that are consciously or unconsciously working to redefine the discipline and casting off things that are at the core of what we do and who we are. Wireframing is still important whether we produce them for stakeholders and teams or not. And I do produce wireframes for myself even when I don't hand them off to somebody else. Someone saw this post and they reached out to me on DM. I am blurring them out. You don't need to know who it was. Great person, person that knows their stuff. The person said, "Hey, Darren, your post here really hit home because just a few weeks ago, an interviewer made me feel like the low fidelity wireframe and prototype stage was quote unquote old school." Oh my God. Are you kidding me? They think that it's old school? That doesn't make any sense at all. Fundamentals are not old school. And the only people that keep saying that fundamentals and things like this are old school are people that don't know how to do them, don't want to do them. A lot of the people that try to turn UX into a visual design field only, folks, old school stuff is still relevant. It's still relevant, all of it. And folks need to embrace that. They need to understand that. The person went on to say, she literally said, "Thankfully, we have a design system with components now, so we don't have to start from scratch in low fidelity." Mind blowing. I agree. How mind blowing is that? A person thinks that a design system is a point of arrival. A person thinks that a design system negates and nullifies and makes other aspects of UX and UX fundamentals irrelevant. You have to have the fundamentals together to do a properly structured design system. And a lot of people are not designing design systems from scratch. They're going and borrowing from Google or borrowing from somebody else and creating their own thing and putting their own thing together. That does not negate. Matter of fact, the more you know about the fundamentals, the more sound you are in domain knowledge in that arena, the better off your design system is going to be, the more effective it's going to be because it becomes interwoven into what you do. Very, very, very critical. She goes on to say later on, that interviewer admitted that this was her first UX role. Wow, really? Yet she was on the interview panel. That doesn't make any sense. I've seen it. I've been interviewed by people underqualified or unqualified, both unqualified people. They will never embrace a person who knows more than them. They don't. They don't. Needless to say, she said, "I did not get that job," laughing my butt off. Isn't that crazy? It's absolutely crazy. So this is why I talk about how UX hiring is dysfunctional, is grossly dysfunctional today. That person should not have been interviewing. So now you've got a person with a low personal UX maturity level doing the interviewing, which means that a person with a low personal UX maturity level gave them the authority to do the interviews, which means that UX in that organization, they're going to hire the wrong person. They're not representing the discipline properly. That is just a complete, it's a joke. It's a joke. It's the Titanic waiting to happen. This is not good, but this is what we're dealing today. This is the reality. I told you folks, it's not just me. I know a lot of people going through this type of thing on a regular basis. And this really helps illustrate the problems that we're having in the discipline today and that we need some help. We've got some things that we need to fix. And so be encouraged, though, when you don't get a job, especially when the wrong people are interviewing and you know your stuff, a lot of times you're not going to get the job. You need somebody at the company that knows their stuff to vouch for you when you know your stuff. When you know your stuff and you're interviewing with people that don't, a lot of times you're not going to get the job. And a lot of times when you do get the job, you're going to regret it. A lot of times. Folks, we've got reality Because somebody's saying, Darren, you need to be more positive. No, no, no. We're not going to do that. And I've said before, I don't embrace the terms positive or negative because they misrepresent. You want to be constructive versus being destructive. And when you hear reality, that is constructive. That is constructive. If you have a nail in your tire and somebody tells you they're not being negative, you're being realistic. When somebody tells you that your kid is at school and they're sick, they're not being negative. They're giving you reality and you need to go deal with it. So when somebody tells you that the wrong person is out there sharing information about UX, we're not being negative. We're being realistic, and we're also trying to protect you and keep you from harm. So realism, folks, is an absolute necessity. And the more we embrace realism today, the better off we're going to be and the more we can accomplish. So please embrace reality. Please don't embrace toxic positivity. Folks, that's not going to help you. It's not going to help your team. It's not going to help your users. It's not going to help anybody. And so when you don't get a job, just move on to the next one. Darren, why are you saying that? Because that's the mindset you need to have. I say it all the time. It's not about the 100 jobs you don't get. It's not about the 200 jobs you don't get. It's not about the 500 jobs you don't get. It's about the one that you do, and you're going to get it because you keep pressing onward and upward. So those of you who are in the job market, keep pressing onward and upward. And somebody, if you bring something to the table, somebody eventually is going to recognize it, and you'll be able to move on. Okay. Topic number three, short and sweet today. Short and sweet. This one really, when I saw this, you know how you go on YouTube and they are showing you a ton of videos for you to partake of. They're making a bunch of suggestions, right? And this is one that was presented to me. This is one that was offered up to me. And this is the thumbnail from that particular video. And it was really shocking to see it because it caught my attention right away. And for those who were listening by way of audio only, the title says AI, Impact on Design, and the Rise of the Generalist. And before I read the subheading here, I got to take a moment to address that because there's a couple things here that are critical. Number one, we used to all be generalists. Specializations in UX didn't come along till sometime around somewhere between 2012 and 2014. If you were in the UX world, if you were working in UX, you did design, you did research, you did all the things. You didn't come in and make a choice. I want to be a researcher. Oh, I want to be a designer. You did everything. So we were all generalists. And we all, not only were we all generalists, not only did we excel, but we thrived. And the projects, the things that we worked on, we delivered things that brought value to our organizations. You didn't see a downturn in quality produced by UX until the specializations came along. And I'm not outlawing specializations entirely. There are some cases where they will work. I totally understand that. But folks need to understand the history of UX, that we all used to be generalists. So before you even watch this video, there's a red flag. There's a major, major, major red flag. And the second one is in the subheading. And got to read this, especially for those who, even people on video, might not be able to see this because it's sort of small. But it says, UX design will not exist for much longer. Can you believe somebody actually said that? I know people keep saying UX is dead and they're serious about it. But again, if you go and check and look at the, you go and look at the job history, you go and look at the experience of these people, the people that are saying UX is dead are people who don't understand it, especially people who don't understand the history. And so, you know, okay, I'm going to take whatever this person says with a grain of salt. They say UX design will not exist for much longer. Not true. But that's a good thing. It's not true. So these people who spread misinformation are gaslighting the masses. And that's all this person is doing. I even went one step further. I listened to just a tad of that, as much as I could take, because I do not expose myself to people who spout misinformation. Don't have time for it. But this person, in the very beginning of the video. The person was talking about how that when you create designs and you go to hand off your designs to developers, that there is a disconnect, that people don't know what to do with it. And that so when they go to produce the code, it gets all messed up. And I'm sure he went on to start touting how you can count on AI to do that for you and things of that nature. And that is also not true. I never had that happen in my career. We had proper handoffs with the people who were going to be producing the code to bring the designs that the UX team produced to life. You have to have proper communication. But if you have UXers that don't understand things and you have developers that not only don't understand things, but in many cases, they actually want to commandeer the design work. That happens more than people want to let on. Then, yeah, there's going to be disconnects. Because, and they will sit there a lot of times. Those developers will make an issue out of what's going on because they want there to be an issue. They create drama so that they can gain an advantage, so they can get what they really want to do. So that's what's going on. So that person was just, I mean, I was done. I'm like, that's strike three. That's three things that that person produced. Folks, people are lying about AI. AI is limited to anything associated with finite science and finite tasks. It can only do things that are finite. It cannot put its head. The head of AI is not on a swivel. It cannot engage in critical thinking. It cannot do anything that an expert can do at that level. And so if you really want to thrive with AI, because AI is going to be a great tool, but we have to stop putting it out there like it's some magic wand that's going to take care of all of our woes. And yes, can it be used to do repetitive tasks? If they're finite oriented, yes. Can it do infinite tasks? Infinite science oriented tasks? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And we need to know and understand that. So if you know where to put AI, if you know where to limit AI, then you're going to be in good shape. And don't forget, with all these people trying to templatize everything that we are and do, you still need a person with a very high level of domain knowledge to accomplish things that folks who don't have that domain knowledge, it will accomplish what they will not. And don't be afraid of AI replacing you. Just upskill yourself, because it's the people with domain knowledge, higher levels of domain knowledge, that AI cannot and will not replace. Do not forget that. So, but if you don't have domain knowledge, if you are no different than AI, then yeah, AI can replace you. So future-proof yourself by upskilling. Future-proof yourself by being committed to your craft. And when you do that, you're going to be better off. Your teams are going to be better off. Your users, your customers are going to be better off. Your leaders are going to be better off. The discipline is going to be better off, instead of being like people today who keep trying to falsify their way into every aspect of UX and not really respecting it, not respecting the people who went in before them. A lot of people don't. They don't want to be around people like me because we make them look bad. They make people look bad. They want to claim they have imposter syndrome. Folks, a lot of people claiming they have imposter syndrome are doing it because they're imposters. So if you upskill, you don't have to worry about all that imposter stuff. You don't have to worry about the self-doubt stuff. You don't have to worry about being intimidated or having an inferiority complex. When you come across a person who's more skilled than you, you'll be able to thrive because you put your pedal to the metal. You put forth the proper effort to validate yourself as a professional. What a novel idea, being qualified, right? But folks, that's it. That's all the time that we have for today. We're going to go ahead and begin our close here. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the show today. Thanks for taking the time to tune in. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for giving us likes. Thanks for giving us thumbs up. Thanks for referring us to your friends in the U.S. community. Check out KaizenTees.com. Look at the merchandise out there, the teddy bears, the t-shirts, the mugs, everything. Folks, check us out today. And thanks to all you out there who have supported us thus far. But until next time, folks, it is time to sign off. This is Darren Hood, the host of The World of UX. Happy UXing, everybody.